Lord, for all needed help. I ask your very prayerful attention again to Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse, the first three words. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. We spoke a little this morning, a few things concerning the way and the path of some of God's dear people and what some of them are passing through at the present time. And there's this here, looking unto Jesus. This great cloud of witnesses. Why? And indeed it is a great cloud of witnesses. And friends, and there are those things that God's people still have to walk and pass through. But my mind, to start with this afternoon, it goes to dear Abraham. Looking unto Jesus. When the dear Lord said to Abraham that he was to indeed go and offer up his son, his only son. Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. It is though, my friends, what the Lord drives this point home. Whom thou lovest. And yes, and it's he that you're to go and offer as a sacrifice on a mount that I will tell thee of. And why, dear Abram, then is obedient. Go. Why, what a word is this? Why, then, you see, it read, God did tempt Abraham. We said this morning, amongst other things, the Lord knew what he would do. That was in the case of feeding the multitude. He asked Philip, he himself knew what he would do. And the Lord knew what he would do here. And his own, and he knows what he'll do with you and I. And he will accomplish his will. And dear Abraham then arose, obedient unto the word of his God. He takes the some asses, saddled his ass, and two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clayed the wood, and burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place which the Lord God had told him. He lifts up his eyes the third day, or in 3 days. If great, deep anxiety, care, and of casting oneself entirely upon the Lord, looking unto Jesus. And why, you know, there's this here. You see the faith of Abraham when he said to the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham believed. Abraham had faith in God. And Abraham believed he'd come again. Although he was being obedient unto his God. Because it reads, doesn't it, elsewhere, that Abraham believed that God was able of these stones to raise up children. Then you see what Isaac says. He said to his father, "Here I am, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where? But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? But where is the lamb?" It seems that at this stage, Isaac didn't realize that he was to be offered, that he was to be bound. But goes on, my son, God will provide. And blessed be his name, he did. Yes, he provided a lamb here, a ram caught in the thicket. Yes, as one of God's dear servants I once heard, he opened this up like this. This ram that was caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham takes this ram and offers it in the stead of his son. But, you see, it was caught by its horns and it wasn't hurt, it wasn't injured in any other way. And thus, my friend, here was this perfect sacrifice. This that was acceptable unto God. But then, why, my son, God will provide. And why, thinking and talking of the Lamb then, what do we read here in John's Gospel? As John Baptist is here baptizing, why, he says this, and the next day, why, he has said, there's one coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And it goes on and starts again. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus. As he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Looking unto Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." Yes, this indeed was he. What the Old Testament prophesied of, the blessed Saviour, the glorious Redeemer, the Saviour of sinners. Yes. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Why, yes, dear soul, and this Lamb of God that should take away the sin of the world. Why, again, you see, there was this command that the children of Israel, they were to offer a lamb of the first year without spot and without blemish. And throughout the Old Testament scripture, it was always to be a lamb without spot and without blemish that was offered. Why, as the dear Apostle Peter says to us here in his epistle, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver, gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. With the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the precious atoning blood of the dear Lord and Saviour of Jesus Christ. By the last hymn in our hymn book, what sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God. All new covenant blessings brings is Jesus' precious blood. What mighty Son paid all my debt when I a bondman stood. And as my soul at freedom set, is Jesus' precious blood. What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood? Nor lets one guilty blemish stay, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for God? And from the curse has set me free, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. What theme my soul shall best employ, thy heart before thy God? And make all heaven to ring with joy, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Oh, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, and is there a poor soul here this afternoon, yes, that desires to know more this precious blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Well, let me take you back a little step or two. Why, Psalm 89. And I think I'm right, it's the 15th verse. It reads that, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Now, the people that know the joyful sound. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer up sacrifice for sin and uncleanness, his own and the sins of the people, he went in to the Holy of Holies. He changed his garments and there he offered up the sacrifice. And then before leaving, he changed and put on his robes of office once again. And on the robes of that office, that he wore, around the hem of that garment, there were some pomegranates. And in between those pomegranates, there were some bells. And when that high priest came forth out of the Holy of Holies, those bells rang. And the people there were watching, waiting. Yes, to hear the sound of the bells of the high priest coming. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Yes, that this blessed sacrifice had been accepted. The sacrifice made and the sacrifice accepted. And dear soul, yes, our blessed Lord, our glorious Saviour Redeemer, has offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and uncleanness on the cross at Calvary. Oh, yes. Oh, and dear soul, and he cried out those well-known words, but that glorious sound of the bells of salvation to poor dying sinners. It is finished, and salvation work was done and was complete. Dear soul, of you, of I, do we know are these this sacrifice been made on your account and mine? That Christ, the Lord, the Saviour, the blessed second person of the glorious Trinity, has made sacrifice for your sin and mine and paid the price of the redemption of your soul and mine with his own heart blood. And then again, why the high priest, he went in, yes, year after year. When he died, another was appointed, and he would go in year after year. But when our blessed Lord died, he said it was finished. And dear soul, and he ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, and he received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, and sat down on the right hand of God. Salvation's work was done. Looking unto Jesus. Dear soul, yes, it's this blessed looking. But then, let's come back again to perhaps some of the experiences and in the path that perhaps some may be walking in, even here today. Looking unto Jesus. Well, you know, back here in Psalm 51, which you all know what it's about, poor David had fallen into sin and iniquity. But, you know, he cries out here, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Where's he looking? Where, dear soul, are you looking? If this is your prayer, Psalm 51, then, dear soul, you too are looking unto Jesus. Because with poor David and, dear soul, with poor you and I, there can be no forgiveness anywhere else but with and by you and I looking unto the Lord. Confessing our sin, our iniquity, our transgressions, our faults, our failings, our inconsistencies, our heart wanderings, our backslidings, our sins of omission, as well as our sins of commission. So the list goes on. Looking unto Jesus. You know, we read there, just one verse in particular there in Isaiah 45, verse 22. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Look unto me. Yes, oh, there's nowhere else for us to look. And the blessed Holy Spirit is all has directed your faith and mine to look up and to look unto the Lord and to plead his name, his blood, his righteousness, his finished work for your poor never dying soul and mine. Look unto me. Be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Though, that is this, those that feel to be so far off. Yes, so far off. This, you can be far off, but you can still look unto Jesus. There are no barriers in between. The eye of faith looks through and sees Christ as the only hope of salvation, as the only way of salvation. So, looking unto Jesus. Again, why Numbers 21 and John chapter 3. Why, what does the dear Lord Jesus say there? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And dear soul, if you didn't believe, you wouldn't look, and you wouldn't pray. No, you wouldn't. You're a sinner, and you feel your need of mercy and salvation, and you plead with the Lord. Why do you plead with the Lord? Because it's no good going anywhere else. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Some poor people, deceived, they think they must go to the priest or to the Pope. No good going to the priest, it's no good going to the Pope, and it's no good coming to me, and it's no good going to any other minister, it's no good going to your pastor. You've got to go to Christ, looking unto Jesus. Thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain the thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. Yes. Looking unto Jesus. Why? Yes. Numbers 21 then. Why? Here we have all the description, have we not, of the children of Israel then being bitten in the wilderness. Bitten by the serpent. But then, dear soul, what do you read back here? In Genesis 3, God's promise here to poor man, and also his word to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's speaking to Satan. Yes. Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's the warning to man. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Yes. Satan, yeah, very often comes from behind us. And remember the words of the Lord God, that this creature is cursed of all cattle. On their belly shalt thou go. It's got no legs. It's on its belly that it goes along. And it's got some terrible poisonous venom, yes, when it bites. It is so, and he comes behind us very often, doesn't he? Unaware of his approach. Oh, the subtlety, yeah, of the work of Satan. Yes, dear, so he comes behind and he bites. What a mercy, dear soul, if you and I are like the children of Israel here. Yeah. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. That is, when he looks upon the brazen serpent. When a poor sinner realizes their sin and their guilt. And like David, you say, oh, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. Yes, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. So he comes, yes, and the Lord promises, yes, that everyone that looks shall be made whole. Well, let's turn again here to another lovely hymn that someone has written about this on this subject. Let's see if we can find it. Why he speaks, does he not, of the temptations of the adversary, 8:7-6. Why, say, I won't read it all, but vain was serpents are the beasts that strike them. Make of brass a serpent like them. That's the way I choose to save. Yes. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they're the words of Jesus himself. God so loved the world, you say, and hear the hymn writer says, make of brass a serpent like them. And he, our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, he took a body like his, our own sin accepted. That's the way I choose. His vein was bandage, oil or plaster, rank in venom killed the faster. Till the serpent Moses took, read it high that all might view it. Bid the bitten look unto it, life attended every look. Jesus thus for sinners smitten, wounded, bruised, serpent bitten, to his cross directs their faith. Why should I then poison cherish? Why despair of cure and perish? Look, my soul, though stung to death. Yes, thine's alas a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, nor thy goodness do thee good. Death's within thee, all about thee, but the remedy's without thee. See it in the Saviour's blood. Oh, blessed be his name. Yes, dear soul. And as Moses lifted up then the serpent in the world, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, we have a few characters in the Gospel that set forth poor sinners in sunk in sin and iniquity. I think of the dear man that was full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, he was looking. Who, seeing Jesus, came, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. You know, and dear soul, and perhaps he's, that man is just like you. Just like you. You don't disbelieve that he could make you whole, but you wonder whether he will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Again, that adversary, that wicked serpent that devours, debites, why, what is he insinuating to your heart and mind? That you're too bad. You're too wretched. Oh, he constantly brings to your mind, your attention of your past life, your sins, iniquities, and so on. But dear soul, what he doesn't tell you is that Jesus died to save sinners. He don't tell you that. That he died for the ungodly. Blessed be his name. He says you can't be saved. Ah, but you know, that dear man came looking unto Jesus. Hoping. Oh, with a prayer. Ah, yes. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. It reads that he was full of leprosy. Well, I don't know about you, but that describes me. Oh, yes, we might look and appear respectable on the outside. But you know, we have to often turn to God's word in Ezekiel. Turn thine eyes within, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And you know, friends, and you won't have any stone to throw at anybody else. You'll have enough to do the rest of your life to keep you and I busy at the throne of grace, begging the Lord's pardon and forgiveness over our sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? Looking unto Jesus. Ah, yes, dear soul, he that is able to save unto the uttermost, the very, very worst of sinners. The very worst. Yes, sinner, there's the dying thief on the cross at Calvary. Why, it appears that he has spent a life in sin and iniquity. And he's committed probably murder in the theft that he's guilty of. But now, here's this sinner, whether he murdered or not, but he's guilty of theft. He's a thief. And, yes, and he receives the due reward of his deeds. And this man had done nothing amiss. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, he cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's in the first hymn, I believe, this morning. Remember me. Oh, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did the Lord say to him? Did he say, sorry, can't save you, you're too bad? No. Dear soul, he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And say, my soul, why not for thee? I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Looking unto Jesus, this Saviour of sinners, this blessed one. Again, why some of the circumstances that bring God's people, his children, bring sinners to look unto Jesus. We've mentioned David. You see, but it brought him to this blessed place of looking unto Jesus. I mentioned this, I know it's personal, but I believe it illustrates the point what I'm trying to say. I was in my teens, so it's over 50 years ago. And I was working in a house, and I received a severe electric shock. So much so that it knocked me unconscious. But yes, I obviously shouted out for help. But if any of you had electric shock, you know how quick it comes. But then, see, as I was coming back to consciousness, I thought, I'm dead. I'm dead. And I expected to hear a voice. And that voice, what I expected, it, that sentence I expected to hear was, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Thanks be to God, I never heard it. But it made me look. It made me look. I was sent home from work. And I got in the train, which was at Epsom Downs, which is the end of a line. Very few people board the train there. But, oh, I remember getting in that railway carriage to go home. The sum and substance of my prayer was, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But it made me look. I say this, dear soul, I hope you understand what I mean. As I look back at it, I look back at that incident, it was one of the best, if not the best, thing that ever happened to me in my life. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandered from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Yes. Snatch as a brand from the burning. Blessed be his name. Looking unto Jesus. Yes. Whereby this hour we come to the Lord in prayer. We come to the Lord in confession of all our sin and iniquity. Yeah. And there's this looking. You know, it's, if ever my poor soul be saved, this Christ must be the way. This is looking up. Looking up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Looking unto Jesus. And dear soul, you may feel to be very, very, very wretched. I don't know. Perhaps there's one or more here today that felt, is it right for me to go into the house of God? Yeah. Dear soul, But you came. You came. You came. Who can tell? You came looking unto Jesus. Oh, that there might be a word for your poor never dying soul. Yes, a word that the Lord indeed would or will have mercy upon your poor never dying soul. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. And be found looking, looking unto Jesus. Dear soul, oh, and he is a gracious God. He is a blessed Saviour. Again, to a poor soul that feels, wonders whether they should have come to the house of God, or a poor soul that feels to be at the very ends of the earth, this blessed Jesus, listen what he says. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me quote the hymn. The vilest sinner out of hell, live to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. I will in no wise cast out. Dear soul, listen again. What did he say? Yes, dear soul, that I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yeah. Well, you can't come in with the righteous, can you, poor soul? But you can come in, and you do come in, and you are a sinner. Yeah. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Yes. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And dear soul, and when you and I are blessed with this faith, to look upon him whom we have pierced, then we shall be humble before him. We shall be clothed in humility, dear soul, and he will remember us with the favour that it has unto his people. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. They will praise him. They will praise him. They'll praise him here on earth. They'll praise him throughout a never-ending eternity. I love to meet amongst them now and before thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all. I cannot bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left there, when thou for them shalt call. Prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place in this, the accepted day. Then, loud as the crowd, I'll sing, while heavens resound in mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. Looking unto Jesus. Dear soul, are you looking? Yes. Dear soul, and he looks. And he looks upon his children. They look unto him. They look unto him for mercy, for peace, for pardon, for forgiveness. And he turned and looked upon Peter. Yes. And the look of love, the look of pity, the look of compassion, the look of forgiveness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Looking unto Jesus. Well, dear all, if you forget everything that's been said today, I hope you don't forget the text, and I hope you don't forget to put it into practice. Looking unto Jesus. Amen.